Chad. Give me a beep. Yeah. Yeah, all right. Praise the Lord. Well, are you ready for the Word of God here today? Yeah. Well, so good to see everybody. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8. I know we might get some wind noise. We might have some static. You know, of course, we can't control the weather. I don't know if somebody here in the front row, how about my wife? Can you give me a thumbs up? Are we doing okay on the wind noise and things? It's good to be heard. Amen. Well, let's go over to Romans chapter 8. And the wind is blowing in. I never foresaw myself ever preaching on the front steps of the church in a thunderstorm. But it's good to be here together and getting in the Word. I want to go to Romans chapter 8. I want to go to verse 31. We are going to read all the way down to the end of the chapter, and I'm going to be reading in the Amplified Bible. So if you don't have an Amplified Bible, just listen up, take these things down, take these notes, praise the Lord. Gentlemen, if you could go ahead and shut that microphone off, that would be great. We can get rid of that. I can hear some wind noise coming through that. And let's go ahead. I'm just going to pick up my Bible. The wind is in my face here. Praise the Lord. It says, starting in verse 31, it says, "What then shall we say to all this?" Folks, this is what we're going to say to the crisis that our nation is facing right now. It says, "If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe? God is on our side." It says in verse 32, "He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with Christ freely and graciously give us all other things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? When it is God who justifies, that is, who puts us in right relation to himself, who can come forward or accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God hold anything against us who acquits us? Who is there to condemn us? Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died, or rather who is raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as he intercedes for us? Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation, or calamity and distress, or persecution or hunger, or destitution or peril or sword? Even as it is written, 'For your sake we are put to death all the day long, we are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter.' Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us." Amen. Aren't you glad to be loved here today? And so it goes on to say, "For I am persuaded beyond doubt, and I am sure, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We could go ahead and we could say, not the coronavirus can separate us from the love of God, not an economic collapse, not famine. And today I'm going to call this message, "We have gained a surpassing victory." Is everyone still hearing me out there? Give me some thumbs up, just making sure. We want you to get the Word of God. And so we're calling this message today, "We have gained a surpassing victory." And as long as the weather permits, I'm going to get a little closer to you, if that's all right. Glory to God. All right, I want to encourage you this right off the top. I'm going to say this, and you can just take it as a word from heaven. The coronavirus and this attack, and the heart of this coronavirus attack, has been torn out. It may continue moving forward due to its momentum, but its momentum will cease. It will suddenly start to recede from our shores. We will look back and we will say, "Was that it? the massive wave that they expected will not crash upon our shores like they thought. You can take this as a word from heaven as well. The great financial crisis that they are predicting will not come to pass. This will not be, it will not be another Great Depression in our nation. We know challenges will arise, but the U.S. economy will not sink into the despair that everybody is worrying about. The absolute severity and the worst of this crisis, that which was potential, has been abated. Today, I want to just encourage you what we just heard there in Romans chapter 8. We have gained a surpassing victory because we know that God loves us. How do we know that this thing is going to turn in our direction? Because God loves us. How do we know that God is going to shield us and protect us? Because he loves us with such an incredible love that he gave his only begotten son. And the Bible says that if he did not spare Christ from us, he will not spare any other thing to provide for us, to protect us. And we just say this for the families of this church, we will look back and we will say there is not one that lacked in our midst. There will be those that will come in from our community that will join our church family, that will give their lives to Christ. And we say this, they will not lack either. Amen. Today I want to give you three things that God's love can do for you. And then after that, I'm going to give you three things that your love for God can do for him. Number one thing that God's love can do for you is to cast out all fear. I'm going to go in my Bible to 1 John chapter 4. You can turn with me in your Bibles, get your notebooks ready. All right, we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 16. We're going to start there. 1 John 4, 16. And I'm going to read verses 16 and 18. And it says, we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that God has given everything he has to protect you, to save you from our sins, to guide us and provide for us? God loves us. Amen. That's worth a horn beep. and our neighbors said, amen. Praise the Lord. It says, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God dwells in him. Verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We have to know this, that verse 18 is talking still about God's love for us. And when we have a revelation and when we have knowledge of how much God loves us, it says it will cast out that tormenting fear. We know that our society right now is being tormented by fear. We know that a lot of people are shaken to their core in their emotions. We're not trying to say that, you know, things aren't tough out there. We're not trying to diminish the fact that there is a serious situation going on. But we have to remember and understand that just because troubles happen in our society does not give Christians the license to be shaken with fear. Because the more we know about God's love, the less we will ever be tormented. Paul said this, he said, I am convinced that not famine, not lack, not distress, not even the threat of the sword or death would ever take us away from the love that Christ has for us. There is no good reason ever to be tormented with fear. We have got the answer. We have known this whole time that we are free from torment because God loves us. The first thing that God's love can do for you is to cast out that fear. But folks, you're going to need to spend time in that word. You're going to need to get out 1 John 4:18, and you're going to need to meditate to yourself and say, I believe that God loves me. I believe his favor surrounds me like a shield. Amen. We are loved, and because we are loved by the Almighty God, remember, the creator of heaven and earth loves you. The God who owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills loves you. The God who made the heavens and the stars wants to protect you, wants to care for you, but he wants you to admit and to acknowledge his overwhelming love that he has for you. Let that love of God cast out that fear. Don't let the news put the fear into you. Let the love of God cast out that torment. Here's the second thing that love can do for you. I'm going to go to Psalm 5:11. You can go back there with me. The third thing, the second thing that God's love can do for you is that it can protect you. How many of you know God isn't just protecting us with his power? God is protecting us with his love. Amen. Of course, we know that he has power, but why is God's power available to us? God's power is available to us because he loves us and cares for us. Go to Psalm 5:11. Here is some homework for all of us here today. Psalm 5:11 says, but let all those that put their trust in God rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because God defends us. So what do we know about God? Aren't you glad to be defended? Amen. You know, it's a good thing to know that God defends us. And it says, because he defends us, let us rejoice and shout for joy. Amen. It says, let them also that love God's name be joyful in thee. It says, for you, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, God will compass or surround him as with a shield. And so notice God's favor is for the righteous. The Bible says that the moment you became a Christian, the moment you took Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that he made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so the righteous that verse 12 is talking about is you. And God wants to protect you with his favor, with his love, like a shield. And so folks, the world may be walking without a shield, but we have a shield. We need to tell people that they can get under that protection and that covering by knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So not only will God's love cast out fear, but God's love will protect you. Let's talk about the third thing that God's love will do. God's love will motivate you. God's love will and should motivate you. I don't know about you, but I want to be a better Christian. I don't know about you. I believe that every Christian should have a desire to be a better spouse. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better pastor. I am never satisfied with where I'm at spiritually. I don't believe I could pray enough. I don't believe I could do enough to ever show God how much he's appreciated. I want my lifestyle to preach the loudest and best sermon of my life. I want to give you 1 John chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Listen to the horn beeps. Yeah, it's very different. But I tell you what, I love being with you here today. And I'm so glad that you're hearing the word of God. And you know what's a real blessing? Yeah. My mistake. What's a real blessing to me is that I've seen so many people that are here today that could not be here over the last couple of weeks, you know, and we understand that, and this is why we're doing that, folks. We're just so glad to have people that could be here to hear the word, gather together, that have not been here, you know, because they are part of the vulnerable population in our nation. So real quickly, I want to go over to 1 John and chapter 3. And I want to show you how the love of God motivates us. The love of God motivates us. Go to 1 John 3:1. If you're taking notes, you can just write this down. I'm going to move relatively quickly. The Bible says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew Jesus not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does yet not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like Jesus, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in Christ purifies himself even as he is pure. When you know that God loves you, when you know that he gave the unimaginable gift for your life, you will be motivated to love him back. You will be motivated to be a better believer, to be a better worker, to be a better spouse. Amen. I'll tell you what, because God has loved me with such an unimaginable love, it motivates me every day to live for him. Amen. So God's love will cast out all fear for you, if you will believe it. God's love can protect you, if you'll believe it, if you'll shout for joy and be glad because he defends him. Amen. God's love can motivate you. Amen. Because what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us that he would call us his sons and daughters. We cannot let go of our faith that believes God is going to take care of his family first. He is going to be there for his family in the midst of this crisis. God is not a deadbeat dad. He is not a poor parent. He is going to defend us, but he's waiting for us to believe it. Remember, God's not asking us to feel him. He's asking us to believe him. And we must believe the love that he has for us. All right, now that we saw three things that God's love will do for you, let's talk about three things that your love can do for God. Because how many of you know love should not be just on his side only? That we should do things that prove our love and sincerity. And are you noticing just a little bit of sun starting to peek through these clouds right now? Hey, praise the Lord. I told you that God loves us. Amen. All right, here we go. Hey, yeah, while you're beeping your horns, I'm going to move my pulpit out just a little bit. I want to be closer to you if I can. Three things that you can, that your love can do for God. Are you ready? Number one thing you can do that your love can do for God is change. Is change. And when I say change, I'm referring to being correctable, being teachable, submit your life before God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Amen. God put something great on the altar for you and I. He put the greatest thing that he had on the altar for us. Money wouldn't do it. The earth wouldn't do it. Creation, animals, nothing could compare to what he gave when he gave Jesus Christ his son. And since God put something great on the altar for us, he put something on that altar that hurt God's heart. Do you know that it hurt God to see Jesus go through what he went through? It hurt God, but it was God's gift to us. And so we have to ask ourselves now, what will we put on the altar for him? Because this love is not a one-way street. It is not just love that comes down upon us. We are supposed to return that love and live a life that proves the sincerity of our love. You know, and when I say give up things, I'm not talking about giving up chocolates for a few weeks. I'm not talking about giving up, you know, meat on Fridays. I'm talking about an everyday lifestyle that honors and pleases the Lord because you love him. You know, sin doesn't just break the rules. Sin breaks the heart of God. And why we don't sin is so we do not hurt the very heart of our loving Heavenly Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. I didn't mean for us to start judging others. I didn't mean to, you know, look at someone else's life and that you demand that they change. I'm talking about all of us judging ourselves. It is time for us to look soberly at our lives. It is time for us to turn to God in a greater measure. It is time for this nation to turn back to the God that it has forsaken. It is time for us to honestly to change and go higher with Him. 1 Corinthians 11:31, you don't need to turn there. It says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." So every believer has to turn soberly within their own heart. Listen, folks, if you're drinking something that dishonors God, change. If you're smoking something that dishonors God, change. You know, if you're watching stuff that dishonors God, change. If you're talking in ways that He would not approve of, that doesn't match His word, change. If you are an unforgiving person, change. If you're selfish, change out of the love that you have for God. Amen. Here's the second thing that we can do, that our love can do for God. Obey His word. I know this seems simple to a lot of us, but we have to obey His word. Yes, amen. You know, Jesus said in John 14:15, He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." All right? When we love God, we are not offended at what He says. When we love God, we greatly desire to know what He says and what pleases Him. Amen. Amen. You know, the love for God will always manifest in a desire to know what He is saying. That's right. When we love God, we are not easily offended at what He says. If you're somebody that can sit in a church service, or somebody that can watch a preacher online and, you know, hear that word and get offended and, you know, criticize and hate and condemn and all that stuff, I'll tell you what, that's a reflection of a lack of love for God. Now, that doesn't mean you have to agree with me every time. That doesn't mean you have to agree with every preacher. But I'm saying when that preacher is preaching the word and people get incensed against what the word of God is saying, they are proving how much they are not willing to return that love to God. When we get easily offended, we are showing a lack of love and respect for God. When you love God, you love correction. When you love God, you love to be rebuked if need be. Yes, I love it when I get rebuked. I said to my pastor, "Hey, we got a lover for rebuking over here." You know, just this week, I must have told my pastor probably a half a dozen times this week. I said, "Pastor Michael, if there's something that I'm doing, if there's something that I'm saying that you ever disagree with or you don't like, if you feel that I'm out beyond God's word, please tell me. I don't want to just be told what I'm doing right. I want to know what I'm doing wrong." Because love will always manifest in a desire to be corrected. And so the second thing your love can do for God is to obey His word. Listen to what David said in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. David said, "Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Folks, that mentality is missing in the modern day church in America. It's that mentality, everyone just believes they're right. But love for God will manifest and say, "Lord, try my heart, test my thoughts, know my thoughts. If there be a wicked way in me, show me and reveal me that I may change and obey your word." David said in Psalm 119:127, he said, "I love your commandments above gold. Yes, fine gold." How many of you know we need to know and remember, we love God's word more than money. We love it more than possessions, more than materials. And when God's love is in you, you will have a great desire for his word. Listen, David is saying, listen, Lord, gold is not my treasure. Your word is my treasure. Because David is saying, what gold cannot do for me, your word will do for me. Money cannot heal you. Money cannot save you. But God's love can save you and heal you. And notice this, money is not the provider. Money is just a tool in this life. It's just something that we have need of and so on. God is our provider. Not even our jobs, not even our businesses. When God's love is dwelling in you richly, you will love and treasure his word above all else. So the second thing that your love can do for God is to love and obey his word. It is time again for this nation to turn back to the Bible. It is time for our nation to get uncompromised again. It is time for the churches and the pulpits in our nation to preach boldly without the fear of the pressure of the internet trolls and all this stuff. It is time to just boldly get back to the word. Yeah. And it's time to see and invite people into the life that God intended in his scripture. And of course, you know that David said over there in Psalm 119, 165, he said, great peace have they that love your word, and nothing shall offend him. He said over there just a few verses before that, I believe it's 119 and verse 62, he said, I rejoice at your word as someone who found great spoil. David's treasure was not the gold. David's treasure was the word. Amen. So let your love for God submit your life, judge yourself, change, all right? And here's the third and final thing. I am fixing to close. Can you? My wife through the windshield just gave me the most skeptical look. We are fixing to close. I mean, do you believe in miracles here today? I mean, yeah. I mean, do you believe that we may end up having a service in the history of Family Church that will be an hour or less? Oh my goodness. But it's not for lack of any power of the word. Amen? Amen. All right. Here's the third thing. And I'm going to turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Gospel of John, chapter 21. Things that your love can do for God. Number one, change. Two, obey his word. Submit your life to him. And third, are you ready? And here's what is lacking in our nation right now. Love God's people. Love God's people. This is the third thing your love can do for God. Love his people. Galatians 6:10, you don't need to turn over there. I'm going to go to John chapter 21 here in just a moment. But Galatians 6:10 says this. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Especially, it says. Next word, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We are of the household of faith. And we are supposed to love one another more than, you know, the world loves itself. We are supposed to demonstrate our love for God in how we treat one another. Now is not a time for God's people to be bickering. Now is not a time to be strifing at home. Folks, now is not the time to get into let the pressure of finances try to hurt and destroy your marriage, all right? Now is the time to love God's people like he loves his people. Amen. Now is not a time to fight and debate, all right? Now is the time to do good, especially unto them who are the household of faith. John chapter 21 and verse 15. Remember after Jesus was resurrected? Remember after he had risen from the dead, He stuck around for 40 days on the earth. He met with his disciples. He met with the apostles. And in this passage of scripture, he's talking to Peter. And look at this in verse 15. And I'm reading out of the King James, John 21, 15. It says, so when they had dined, or they were eating together, Jesus said to Simon Peter, isn't that interesting that we're going to get to eat even after the resurrection? Notice Jesus. Yeah, we like that, right? Some of you are wishing you could go and eat right now. Well, just give me a few minutes, right? We're fixing to close. But we see that even after Jesus was risen from the dead, he enjoyed eating. Isn't that exciting? The Bible says that one day we will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the table of the kingdom of God, and we will have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Aren't you looking forward to the day when we can eat without having to read the calorie content? Amen. All right. So look at this. It says, after they had eaten, Jesus said to Peter, he said, Simon, son of Jonas. King James says, lovest thou me more than these? Let me put that in English for us. Jesus said, do you love me more than the rest? And Peter said to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Look at Jesus' response, meaning, if you love me, Peter, feed my lambs. Notice lambs is a reference to the people of God. Folks, that's why we're here today. That is why we have had a relentless approach to the gathering of God's people. Whether we're in this sanctuary or we're in this parking lot, we are going to gather in the name of Jesus so everyone can hear the word of God. Because I love God's people, because you love God's people, we're going to feed them the word as long, amen. As long as this church remains, as long as I'm the pastor here, we know, and I'm just declaring to you today, the word will always be first and foremost. We demonstrate our love for God by a desire to see God's people fed the word, to be in a good local church, but also to have their natural needs met as well. And so Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, if indeed you love me, care for my people. Folks, if you say you love God, but you don't like his people, that is a contradiction. It is impossible to say that you love God and yet despise his people. So many folks have said that to me over the years. Oh, I'd come to church. I love God, but I just can't stand church people. Well, I'll tell you what, that's not the love of God. The love for God manifests itself in loving the lambs, loving the sheep, loving the people of God. Praise the Lord. All right, the plan of God, the blessings of God, the direction of God for your life will be discovered as you are in the midst of loving God's people. You know, we all have an individual plan for our lives that God has designed for us. But the one thing every one of us, every plan of God has in common is that we are all called to be in a place, to be in a local church, so that we can demonstrate our love for people, so that we can serve God's people. There is no plan of God that exists on the earth that excludes serving the people of God. Amen? And so those are three things that we can do to show our love for God. Amen. We can change. We can obey the word of God, and we can love God's people. Folks, did you get any help out of this here today? Amen. You know, absolutely. Folks, don't let the news, don't let the things that are taking place. What you're going to see is you're going to see numbers increase. You're going to see things. You know, I truly believe that this coronavirus attack is giving this nation one last tear before it has to leave our shores. If you look at Mark chapter 9 and when Jesus cast that demon out of that boy, it says that before that demon left that boy, he tore at that boy, threw him down to the ground, and made him foam at the mouth. I truly believe something similar is happening in this nation right now with that coronavirus. As God has torn the heart of that thing out, it is kicking and tearing one last time before it has to leave our shores. Yes, amen. Do not allow the fear of this world to torment you. Meditate in the love that God has for you. Meditate in the fact that he said he'd surround you with favor like a shield. Meditate on this great, what manner of love that God has loved you to call us his sons and daughters. He's going to take care of you. His angels are given charge over you, lest you dash your foot against one stone. He is mighty. He is protecting. And you know what? We're going to make it to the other side of this thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so what we're going to do now is, I know, of course, this is a lot different than when we're sitting in our sanctuary. But folks, we have to give folks an opportunity today. Whether we get to see it or not, we don't know if we'll be able to. We understand that folks are in their cars right now. But what we're going to do is, I'm going to ask everybody that is in these vehicles, if you could please close your eyes, bow your heads, so we can give everyone an invitation, plus those that are watching by live stream here today, an opportunity to know God's love for themselves. So can we please close our eyes and bow our heads, even right there in our vehicles? Dear Father God, we just love you. Father, we praise you and glorify you. Father, we thank you for your great love and what it does for us. It casts out the tormenting fear. It protects us, Lord God. It motivates us, Lord God. Father, you have loved us with an incredible love. You gave us your highest and your best. And Father, if we've received your love, it should, of course, go back to you. Father, we should love your word. We should change. We should absolutely love your people. And Father, we thank you. Now, with all eyes closed, every head bowed all over this parking lot, if you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you know, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. This love that God has is not exclusive. Family Church is not a club. Family Church is not just exclusive in any way. This love that God has is available to every single one that is sitting in this parking lot, that is watching by live stream, or that they are hearing the gospel somewhere else today. Everyone, no matter of their circumstance, is invited to know Jesus. And so if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I don't know if I know Jesus. I don't know if I were to die today, if I'd be in heaven or if I would be in hell. Let me tell you right now how to know that you have God in your heart. Again, the Bible says that if you confess Jesus as your Lord, speak it with your mouth, invite him into your heart, believe that he raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Right there in your vehicle. If you're here today and say, Pastor, that's me. I know I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and today's the day I'm going to give my life to Christ. I know we're sitting in cars, but you know what? It's not raining. It's easy enough to roll down a window. I can look across this parking lot. If you're here today and you know you need Jesus as your Lord, could you simply roll down your window and place your hand out your window? Our eyes are closed. Our heads are bowed. I'm the only one looking around. But if that's you, could you go ahead and put your hand up? Is there anyone here? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. If there's anyone else, maybe you're here and you're just shy to lift your hand out of the window, please know this. It's not the lifting of the hand that saves you. It's the confession of the heart. And so we're going to just lead you in this prayer. If you lifted your hand, or if you know you need to invite Jesus as your Lord and Savior, pray these words. I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. Repeat these words after me. Mean them with all of your heart, and God will hear you. Let's go ahead and pray. Everyone say this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and I believe that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Bible says that there's rejoicing in the presence of angels when one sinner repents. And so are you glad there's a party in heaven here today? Yeah. Glory to God. Well, do you see what time it is right now? Does everybody have a clock in their vehicle that we are under 1 hour and now we are getting ready to dismiss? I told you that there would be miracles in these last days. But you know, it's not about the brevity. It's not about just trying to have a short service. We just, you know, cut out a lot so we could have time for the word. And it's just been such a pleasure to have everyone here today. Folks, this is what we're going to do as we dismiss. We are going to be taking up our normal tithes and offerings. We have ushers at the exits that will be standing there. We didn't think that it would be prudent for all of them to go car to car. If you are visiting here today, there is no obligation to give. You know, we're just so honored to have visitors. If you're part of our regular church family, you know what to do. We are obeying God and so on. And so in a moment, we're going to pray for the offering. I'm going to dismiss you. And then what we're going to do is that we're going to dismiss by row so we don't have a massive issue getting out of here. All right? So I will start with the first rows. And you guys, you know, you'll see that when everyone starts pulling out, you'll just be able to move forward. You won't have to back up your car at all. If you do, it'll be very limited. And we'll start with the first rows, and they can just start heading towards the exits. Folks, we have ushers at both exits, you know, and so you can go out this exit, or you can go the one over here on Paternity Drive, and we can give as we leave today, or if you're visiting, come back. We're going to be here for our drive-in services next week, Palm Sunday, 2 weeks from today. Do you remember what 2 weeks from today is? Resurrection Sunday, right? Yeah. Folks, I mean, we've got a lot of cars here today, but you know what? We have a parking lot to fill up there as well. Invite friends, invite neighbors, get them here. You can tell them a 1 hour service and you can actually say it with a clear conscience. Praise God. Let's go ahead and pray as we get ready to give today, and then we'll dismiss, and then I'll dismiss by row, starting with this first row. Father God, we just love you and praise you. You are so faithful. You are so good. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. You love us. You protect us. You are faithful to your sons and daughters. Lord, your love is unimaginable, and we're going to return your love to you. Father, we love you and appreciate you. Father, we say this, that all of our needs are abundantly met and supplied in these days. None in our family will lack any good thing. Father, you are so good. We love you. We thank you that every time we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. Father, let these people know how much they are loved. Father, how much I love them. And Lord, I know you love them more than I ever could. And Father, we just give you the praise today. We give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone shouted, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here today.